Hello and welcome to the Natural Practice podcast, this time on constellation counselling. And it's a delight for me, I'm David Owen, to be talking to Marcos Frangos, who's the constellation counsellor at the Natural Practice. And a lot of people say, what is it? So that's probably a good place to start. I would say before that, that I found it a really useful tool for when I've sent patients to see you, Marcos, and I know they've benefited with it, but there's often a bit of, you know, what's this all about then? Any thoughts, any ideas you can do to overview it?
Yeah, it's a really good question, especially because the word constellation is often associated with, you know, the stars, and therefore people think it's about astrology, which it really isn't. So in a sense, constellations is a way of working with a whole person. It's a holistic way of working. And by that, I mean working with their physical, their mental, their emotional, their spiritual selves, and trying to understand not just the person in context with what they're bringing, but their wider context too. You know, it might be their family of origin, it might be some cultural histories, some transgenerational things. So it's trying to sometimes take what might be a presenting issue that a patient comes with or a client comes with, and that might be something maybe to do with their health or their mental health or their relationships, and then starting to unpack that, David, and say, well, how is that linked to your wider system? And in so doing, we then start to get like opening the lens to see, well, what else is there and what can we do about the presenting issue?
Yeah. So I know with the word counselling in there, obviously people see a relevance to it towards sort of anxiety and depression, and obviously they are in a way sort of symptoms, aren't they? But it seems to me that you do a bit more than that, and that you seem very interested in their physical and emotional well-being and their immune state, as well as their sort of psychological profile. Do those connect?
It's a really good question. I mean, I think sometimes it's a nice way of looking at this, I think, is that we have these spheres or domains of being, like we said, our physical domain, our emotional domain, our mental state, our body and how our body is feeling, even our spiritual or our meaning-making part of ourselves. And one of the basic precepts that I start with, and this way of working starts with, is about the theme of belonging, really. And it might sound a strange place to begin, but I think it's just worth remembering that all of us belong to many, many systems. Yeah. We belong to a family of origin. We belong to a work culture, a cultural background. We belong to maybe a faith system. And why I'm mentioning that is that our physical and our emotional and our well-being are often linked to those many systems that we belong to. And bear with me here, because I've got a bit of a metaphor, see if this works. It's a little bit like, imagine that all that makes up who you are is like a flock of sheep. You've got many different behavior traits, mental traits, yeah, ways of relating. That's all a flock of sheep, right? You've got, yeah, hundreds of sheep. You've also got a sheepdog. Now, the role of the sheepdog is to do what? It tends to keep the sheep safe, doesn't it? Yeah. By keeping them within a safe boundary, making sure they don't stray off. They might get eaten by a wolf or shot by someone or fall over a ditch. If you think about it, imagine that some of those sheep that you have in your flock are inherited sheep. You know, they came from your father, from your mother, from your grandparents. You might not even recognize them because they're all white. Right. They might be what I'd call unconscious belief systems or behavior, right, traits. So there you are, you've got your sheep and you've also got the sheepdog. And what I'm trying to do in the constellations counseling work with my clients is to help them understand, how is it that, albeit helpful having the sheepdog that's corralling the sheep, it also might restrict their ability to respond to situations differently. So there's a continual tension, I would say, David, between our willingness to belong and then our willingness to what we call in psychological terms to self-actualize, to become more freely expressed, to be who we are. Does that make sense?
It does. No, I think it's a nice analogy. And so and obviously when that flock is going in a particular direction because out of habit, or the sheepdog's taking it that way, that may or may not be where the person as a whole entity wants to be. It certainly might not be their full potential.
And, exactly.
And I guess going in that so-called wrong direction, if there is a wrong direction, can take up more energy or have more impact on the well-being. So you're sort of painting a picture that gives people some choice, a sort of a sense of a stock take of your potential and opportunities and those things that influence it.
It's beautifully put. And I think just to illustrate that, David, if for example, and this is quite common, I find, if for example, someone has learned behavior, a trait, you know, a sheep in their flock that actually says, you know what, I can't express anger because whenever I express anger, I really upset people and then we fall out and I like to keep the peace. And so really the best thing to do is just not be angry, you know, just be nice. And when that person then develops into adulthood and they've kind of learned to have that sheep amongst their flock and they bump into all sorts of relationships, you can imagine, well, what happens when they get annoyed? What happens when they get angry? Where does that anger go? And so my interest when I'm working with a client is to say, where did that pattern of it's not okay to be angry come from?
Okay.
And as we start to unpack that, to use your words, we start to get more choiceful about, okay, well, that's only one way of behaving, but there are other ways of responding to your anger, like expressing it.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
So tell me, I'm sure, I mean, I like the metaphor of sheepdog, but just I can imagine some people sitting at home thinking, oh, how does he work with a sheepdog? I wonder what it's like practically, because again, obviously people need a level of trust to explore these areas with you. How does someone do it and how long does it take and how many sessions and, you know, what sort of things might people, you know, come to you for help with? Sorry, there's a lot of questions there, but
yeah, I'll take that last one first and then I'll work backwards. So I think patients come with all sorts of things. It can be anything, David, from perhaps, living with something like chronic fatigue. And we know that that can sometimes have links to past traumatic events or to emotional difficulties. They may have relationship problems, maybe feeling lonely or anxious or have depression. Or sometimes it might be more of an existential, I'm trying to find something in my life along my life journey.
Right.
So it can be a range of things. And how it works, to answer that very good question, is we'll start with an intake session. I try and understand more through them filling in a questionnaire, more about their family history, more about their medical history, if that's relevant. Have they had previous kind of experiences of counselling? And we'll unpack that in a 50-minute session. And then normally, if we choose to carry on and work together after that, David, it can be I work in batches of 3 or 5 sessions, normally spaced about 2 or 3 weeks apart. Right. And the purpose of that is that it's really important in this work, as we get glimpses of a person's context, their emotional well-being, their mental well-being, to also give some life experience in between sessions.
Right. So it's not necessary to have had previous counselling experience and it doesn't preclude working with a counsellor at the same time, or?
If that's if there are parallel tracks of therapies, that's fine.
Yeah.
We just contract and make sure that those things are complementary rather than rubbing up against each other in an unhelpful way. So we'd always talk about that.
Sure. So and actually in a session, what might you do? And does it have to be face to face? I know you've worked virtually in these sort of video meetings with clients and patients that I've sent across and you've been helpful with. And how does it work?
Okay, so at the moment, because of COVID, it's all my work is virtual. And actually, I've been really delighted that the depth of contact between myself and clients hasn't actually lessened because we're not able to see one another face to face. How it works is that we're both on Zoom, and some of it might be a discussion, look like a discussion a bit like you and I are having.
Yeah.
Then quite a lot of the time, what I like to do is to, let's say we're exploring that issue I talked about earlier, about a patient who's coming with issues about exploring their anger. Well, I might say to them, well, you know, let's explore where that came from. And I might ask them to actually have physically represent their family of origin, you know, their birth parent, their siblings, if they have them, maybe grandparents. And I might say, if you chose something to represent anger in this system, where would it be? So we almost, like sculpturally, we begin to explore where does anger fit in their family system. And from there, we can develop some homework. And I might say, okay, so between now and next session, how would it be if you just spot where annoyance and anger comes up?
Right.
And then we'll talk about it next session.
I love it. And as you know, when I'm working with patients, I'll sometimes say, you know, where do you feel this? You know, what's the feeling? And we talk about sensation in the body and the very clear link between the sort of function and structure. So that actually, you know, the way the body operates in a certain way is influenced by its structure and vice versa. And you
know, absolutely.
And I'm constantly astounded by how much impact we can have on physical illnesses, you know, through these subtle, almost psychological, social interfaces.
Me too.
So just, it's been really fascinating hearing about that. And I hope for those of you listening, it's been helpful in understanding a bit more about constellation counselling. Marcus, before we end, is there anything else you'd like to say to someone who's thinking about it or is interested in it? How would they find out more?
They can certainly go to our Natural Practice website and under the practitioners tab, if they follow the photos and find my photo of Marcos Frangos, then they can download several blogs and I explain how the work works online with our virtual work. And also just get in touch. I think one of the reasons that we have, and sometimes it's a free intake session, David, is just to give people a chance to try this out and see if it's right. And I'm pleased to say that most of the time it is, and there's a good chemistry and a good fit, and patients carry on working with me. So just have a go, I would
say. Thank you. So that's been really helpful. And so thank you very much for your time and taking time to explain that. And just for those listening, you know, if you want more information, have a look at our website, thenaturalpractice.com. You can sign up there for our newsletter if you want an update on, so every other month we send a little update on what's happening in the practice, or drop an email to the practice, inquiries@thenaturalpractice.com. And do, you know, if you found this interesting and have someone in mind that you think might be helpful to listen to, feel free to pass on the link to this podcast or give us feedback on it and suggestions and ideas for what you'd like to hear more about. We've got a team of highly committed practitioners in a range of different complementary therapies who, you know, part of their work is to explain what they do to the general public and to patients and to promote a more holistic way of working with their health and health issues. Thank you again, Marcus.
Thank you.